Let's grab our friends, flowers, and feathers for episode number 27 of the Retro Rewind Podcast.
Retro Rewind Podcast initialized. Mission identified. Super Mario World, 1991. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
She said Super Mario 1. I thought this was Super Mario World.
Did I play the wrong game?
She said World. Welcome to the Retro Rewind Podcast, where we look at movies and video games from 15 or more years ago and let you know whether they're still worth revisiting today. You can find the show notes for this episode at RetroRewindPodcast.com/RRP27, where you can leave us a comment on the episode. You can vote in our poll on whether you thought Super Mario World was a classic or second class. And you can
Who's also in charge, you or Alice? Links
to subscribe to the podcast on
Zelda,
iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and more. I am co-host numero uno, Francisco Ruiz. I am a dad, a designer, and a dino dodger. Boing, boing.
Oh, you don't like Yoshi, huh?
Well, the other dinos.
Oh, I guess it's the other dinos avoiding, like coming out of the lava.
That, the classic interrupter, the other co-host. I was going to say awesome co-host, and you are, but I just said, hey, I won't say that.
Oh. I just got demoted from awesome to other. That's quite a drop.
Yes, that's Paul Powers. Welcome, Paul.
Hello.
Hello. Our question for you this
time. Quite an entrance.
Sorry.
That's okay. You can redeem yourself with this question, Paul, with answering this question.
I doubt it.
If you could pick any enemy, any one of like a Koopa's underlings.
Bowser.
That would rebel and be on Mario's team, who would it, which enemy would it be and why?
The blue shell. Send that at Bowser.
Knock him out first place every time. You have your clown car, Bowser. Awesome.
Or just send it, you're in world one, and just send it all the way to the end and win.
It just goes to the end of the level, Paul. It doesn't go all the way from the first Mushroom Cup level to the end of Rainbow Cup.
But as far as character is concerned?
Yes.
All right, how about the guy that rides the clouds and drops the spiky?
Yeah, that's a good one.
So wherever it drops, those spiky things, wherever he drops them is actually attacking the enemies instead of Mario.
Bad rock. That's kind of like playing Mario Dota. Keithos would probably get that right.
What's a Dota?
Yeah. Well, how about we introduce our guest host this time? It is my brother, Keithos, the game correspondent Ruiz. Welcome, Keithos.
Hi, everyone. I'm back again.
Yes, you're back again.
Let you know what games are good.
Would you explain, could you like say really quickly what Dota is for Paul and everyone else that doesn't know what that is?
It's like one team versus another.
Yes.
But you're in the middle of an army, two armies going at each other.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Fight both of them?
No, you're part of one army. You're fighting the other army. But on the other army, there's other humans who are against you.
Let's move on from Dota. I thought it was going to be an awesome joke on my part. It fell way flat. I've been demoted from awesome to
it went from awesome to other.
Exactly. So let's get on with this. Paul, what is our course for today?
Let's have some pizza at around the table and have a discussion on whether we think this video game is a classic or second class. And then let's talk about what's been new on our tube lately. And then we'll wrap it up with a big bow at the end.
Ooh, I like bows.
With maybe some feedback and... Yeah?
I don't know when we're going to find our target, but Alice, please let us know whenever that happens.
Alert, alert, target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
the next generation from Nintendo. New Super Mario World, created especially for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. It's a bit more exciting, a bit more challenging, a bit more graphic, a bit more colorful, a bit more realistic, a bit more levels, a bit more secret, a bit more enemies, a bit more friends, a bit more sound, a bit hotter, a bit cooler, a bit weird, a bit more revolutionary, a bit more Mario, a bit more of what you want. It's 16-bit, and it's yours only if you get new Super Nintendo. Now you're playing with power, superpower.
I think that commercial needed a bit more.
No, but then it would have been 17-bit.
Well done, Gitos.
So Super Mario World was developed by Nintendo EAD, Entertainment Analysis and Development. It was published by Nintendo in Japan and Europe and North America, but it was published by Mattel in Australia.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, sorry. That's... Australasia. Sorry. That part of the world. Anyway, okay. It came out on first on the Super Nintendo, later came out Game Boy Advance and Virtual Console. It actually came out November 21st, 1990 on the Super Nintendo console. Jeez. In Japan. And then almost a year later, August 23rd, it came out in the North America, USA. And then about 6 months later, it came out in Europe in April of 92. And then finally, Australasia on July 1st, 1992.
Is that the official term?
Yes.
I wonder if it's like Asia Pacific, essentially. Like, that's usually like Malaysia, Australia, New Zealand, that area of the world.
But usually Japan is part of that.
No, Japan, but anyway, it's its own... geo typically. Anyway, thank you, Paul.
Anyway,
anything else interesting about it?
Yeah, it took the developers there were 16 people who worked on it for 3 years,
one for each
to
bit
create this game. Yes. Oh, very good. It didn't say how much it cost to create, probably because they were creating it with the console itself.
Sure.
So it's kind of hard to separate the two, mm-hmm. but it is in the top-selling video games of all time, over 20 million. And to wow. put things in perspective, it's number 8 currently right now. As of this podcast, it's currently number 18 in the best-selling games, video games of all time.
Wow.
The latest one is Grand Theft Auto 5, which sold 29 million, is at currently number 7.
How tastes have changed, but I'd much rather pop in Super Mario World anyway. Very cool. Thank you, Paul. Before we get to discussing the game, excuse me, here is what You're we excused. Remember... Mario and Luigi, whose twirl jump is rarely useful, are in Dino Land, where hidden blocks and Yoshi is almost always useful. As usual, Bowser has captured the princess and trapped all the Yoshis in eggs. The Mario brothers...
I don't remember him, but... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Mario battles all the Koopa cousins in their castles, making his way to Bowser, using the new feather/cape power... which is always useful. Alternatively, you could do the side missions, completing the Star Road levels with different color Yoshis that have different abilities. Complete the special levels. After that, play all the levels with the turtle, who have swapped their shells for Mario heads that are all too tan. And then at the end, Mario fights Bowser, who is in a flying clown car, and Mario rescues the princess. Then if you complete every level at every exit to have a star by your, you get a star by your number 96.
Wow, that's complicated.
You remember all that stuff?
Well,
between
the both of us, yes.
Jeez.
I'm sure
I remember like the first stage.
Oh, I remembered it more for the story, and apparently Paul remembered it more for the technicals.
Story? I wasn't aware it had a story.
Oh, gosh. Well, we'll discuss that, guys.
Yeah.
okay. Before we get too deep, let's do our quick fire predictions on whether we thought Super Mario World would be a classic or second class before we played it again. Kitos.
that it was going to be a classic, because the way I remember it, it was basically, it was the staple of platformers for, you know, my entire generation growing up.
Cool.
It was the game to go to.
That's a little less than quick fire, but that's okay, Paul.
Oh, whoops.
agree for the same reasons.
And I thought it was going to be a classic as well. So let's get this going or jump off, because Meyer jumps. Get it?
Oh, we're ending the podcast. We're jumping off.
With things we loved or liked about Super Mario World. Paul, would you kick us off this time?
I love the feather. The ability to, or the cape, I should say. The cape is probably one of my all-time favorite power-ups, I guess you can say, in the Mario franchise. Certainly not, maybe it's arguably not the best, but it's certainly useful for staying in the air a really long time, and you have to maneuver to stay in the air, and you can do that power dive. So I love the cape, and you feel super.
Yes, I'd have to agree. That cape was, after you got the hang of it, it was definitely just this awesome power up and one of the better ones. Kitas, how did you feel about the cape / feather?
I really liked the cape. I just liked using the attack move with it where you spin. I love the sound effect with it.
Yeah.
I would just fly through the stage doing that constantly.
So, Paul, did you use that much?
I used the cape when you went into some of the pipes to do the twirl cape like that, and then you can like hit the X's or the O's to try to get one ups as you go, and if you hit it with the cape in a special way, it would always go O's, and so you get the free the one ups with that.
I had no idea about that. Yeah, that's awesome.
I didn't know that.
I always just essentially my strategy for doing that was I'd go left to right, and inevitably one of them would be that sequence of just left to right. So I do that every one. Yeah. And then
if you use the cape to hit it just with your cape to go left or right, there will always be a one up at the end.
Huh. Wow, that's amazing.
I found, I mean, my strategy for it was I knew the last one and the first one. I knew it was the same combination every time.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
So I did that. The other ones I never really figured out, but.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was random.
Maybe.
So I just learned a new use for the cape, which is awesome. I'm curious, before we go on to something else, were you guys able to actually increase your height with the cape, like actually fly up if you do it little bit by little bit?
Yeah, not at first, but I was able to, especially on that level where you get the cape and you go down the pipe and you come up and there's a bunch of those coins between the two tall pipes. I was like, at first when I did, I was like, dang it, I remember being able to go up. But then it's one of the abilities which I like is that you have to work at it to get good at it.
Totally, yes.
You know?
Yeah, I didn't even know you could fly up with the cape.
Well, it's not so much, it's almost like if you were in a glider, like you get a little bit of momentum going down, and you go back up at just the right moment that you actually get lift. And so you do that a few times, and so it's like, and I'm doing this for the Google Hangout. Boo, boo, boo. So like that.
It's, yeah, I see. I never even did that at all.
It's not super useful, except for like if you want to just go
it's
through
totally
the entire
useful.
If you want to go through the entire level, just
especially on. Yeah, I was about to say, especially on some of the harder levels.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to that though in a little bit. But Kitas, I want to kick it over to you. What's something you really loved or liked about Super Mario World?
What I really liked is the whole the world, and I don't know, especially in the Forest of Illusion. You guys remember that part?
Oh yeah.
There's like all these secret areas, and I know I didn't find all of them, but I found the blue switch.
Yeah,
I found that, which was cool. Yeah. But man, I could, there's a bunch of stuff there. I know there was that I totally missed and just kept going through. So, but I love that the world had so many secrets, and you had to really like go through it, like with a, fine-tooth comb to find everything.
And to build off of that, I found that the game on a whole did a really great job of sort of pacing the new elements that it introduced you to. Like, it started off with, okay, this is kind of new. I get to pick one direction or the other. I forget. I don't think Super Mario 3 had that right off the bat where you could go one direction or another.
It could if you got the if you defeated the Hammer Brothers that were running on the screen and you got a hammer.
I'm just trying to say that it starts you off with that dynamic. Then it introduces you to the Switches and Yoshi. Then it goes on to have one level that has two different ways of exiting the level with the red levels. And just all these different, it just ramps up more and more and more, which I think is similar to what Kythos is saying. It's really cool how they did that. And it didn't feel like all of a sudden I'm dropped into this level and I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. It was very, so gradual and such a nice curve that it was really fun to play.
Except the first level is the most boring thing ever. When you first start off, if you don't go to the left or don't go to the right, it's just like this one screen area where it's just like, hey, this is Super Mario World. You have to like go off the screen. It's like, are you kidding me? Let's get this started.
Something else that I really liked was that I thought was really innovative how they had those hint boxes, and it was kind of like a tutorial through a game, which I don't recall any other game doing that to that point of having these sort of this form of hand holding, which I thought was very helpful. What did you guys think about that though?
I had totally forgotten that they even existed.
Oh, sure.
Like when I got in, I was like, what is this box? I don't remember this kind of, you know,
yes,
coin box.
I had the same experience.
Oh,
then I hit it, you know, with my head or whatever, jumped into it, and it brought up this like tutorial. I'm like, I feel like this wasn't there when I was growing up.
Oh, I totally remember it. I just totally forgot it was there.
it was helpful.
Though that actually makes me think, Kythos, things that may not have been there or were added and or whatnot. How did we play this game? Did either of you guys, have you gotten your Super Nintendos fixed, or are you still emulating these?
Emulating.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Paul, I believe I recall you're playing with a Logitech controller and Kythos with an Xbox controller?
Yep. I got a 360 controller.
Nice.
Okay.
You don't have an X-Bone controller?
Is it wired or wireless?
No. It's a wired one. I hate the batteries.
I actually played with the wireless version.
Oh, you got an Xbox controller, Paul?
Yeah, an Xbox 360 wireless.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Very cool.
I played with that one. Yeah.
Very nice. And I played with my Wii Classic controller and played through the Virtual Console. So,
acceptable.
that little digression aside, let me go back to you, Keith. That's what was something else you really liked about the game.
Let's see. I liked, the first time I got Yoshi, I was like, yes, yes, because it made like the whole thing so easy. I was like, finally, yes. And like, even getting hit, You don't take any damage or anything. You don't lose anything. He just tries to run away. So
except Yoshi.
Catch him. Yeah. But, I mean, it's pretty easy to catch him again. So
I found it hard to catch him sometimes, actually.
Oh, sure, sometimes.
Yeah. So that feeling when I got Yoshi, that was good. It felt like, because I had, we'll all get into this in the next segment, but, oh, man. I died a lot up to that point. And so once I finally got him, I felt, you know, like the supreme being, you know, just killing every one of the creatures.
Don't you get Yoshi on like the second level?
King was on his throne.
Yes. I was dying from the first level on.
Oh, okay. All right. Did you find...
I agree.
Oh, go ahead, Paul. Yeah.
I like Yoshi. It was interesting that I read that Yoshi was originally... They wanted to put him in the original Super Mario Brothers game, but the 8-bit couldn't really handle what they wanted to do with Yoshi.
Yeah.
So they were excited to finally add him to the game when the 16-bit came out.
Yeah, and he's definitely a fun addition. He adds a lot of a different take on the overall gameplay that Mario Brothers had become. So it is certainly a nice breath of fresh air. Because the cape was kind of a take on the raccoon tail.
The squirrel or the raccoon, yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, once I got him, there's also like a pipe you could go into to one of those secret areas. And having Yoshi made it like super simple because you could double jump. You could jump with him and then jump off of him.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Really high up. Mm-hmm. So he was such a help to have.
Absolutely. And I always just loved being able to eat anything.
Yeah.
That was always nice.
Yeah. The apples.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think there was some... Oh. Did you say there are some secret areas that you had to have Yoshi, like to jump and then jump off Yoshi to get up into the pipe?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you could have ever got there without him.
Yeah, probably not. Luckily, I had him at that point. I'm like, yeah. Oh, nice.
Did you guys uncover the secret level in, I think it's Donut Land, which is sort of the second big area right above the ghost house there? Did you open that up where you can go and get two feathers, two flowers, and Yoshi, or extra life if you had Yoshi?
No, I didn't get that.
Oh, that's the thing to unlock, because then you could have unlimited men. Just keep going back in there.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to go through the ghost house. That's like a two-exit one, and you find the right way, and you can get it.
Maybe that's one of the reasons I died so much. Didn't have all these special things.
Yeah, this game introduced the ghost houses for the Super Mario franchise, and they started to have multiple exits with this.
Mm-hmm.
And today, now the Super Mario games, the ghost houses are known for having secret exits. And so it's like, if you ever come across a ghost house that only has that one exit, you're like going nuts trying to find that secret one. And sometimes there isn't one.
Yeah. Look up the strategy guide. Maybe that'll help. Circa 1991.
Speaking of which, when this game came out, it was around Christmas time. That Christmas after the console came out, I figured out that if I had saved my money and my Christmas money, my allowance money and everything, I could get the console. So I told my parents, nice. I don't want the Super Nintendo for Christmas because it's really expensive. Anyway, I want the cheap $12, $16 strategy guide. It's the first one I ever got for a game, so that when I got that game, I would find every single possibility. And I did. It was fun. It was a blast.
You didn't find that sort of took away the challenge of it?
No, it was challenging to get through all the special things they were showing.
All right.
To me, that was a challenge to find everything and get to where they were showing.
Oh, I think I would guess, Keith, this is the same way for you, given that you guys always play Halo and Legendary right off the bat. But it's sort of a sense of pride that we don't use strategy guides. But what's your thought on that, Keith?
So I didn't use any strategy guides going through this. I tried just using my memory, but my memory was very vague on this. Yeah, I was pretty young when I played this. So,
yeah.
It was almost like this is my first time going through it. But I do, as I went through it, I started remembering things.
Mm-hmm.
I started remembering some of the secrets. Like, oh, yeah, I remember that. There's something right there. Like one of those hidden coin boxes. So
yeah, exactly.
I jump in, you know, where nothing is. And then all of a sudden the coin box is there. I'm like, yes, I remember.
Nice.
What was the question?
No, it's just things that we liked
strategy guide. Yeah. So the strategy guide, I mean, I didn't use any strategy guide or anything like that. To me, it's kind of, just as you were saying, Francisco, it's a point of pride. It's like, this is what my mind can do.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
So,
Not that
there's anything wrong with strategy guides.
Oh, no.
That's just what I like to do.
So did you actually find everything in this playthrough, Paul?
No, I in this playthrough, I got to that ghost house that you set up there.
Uh-huh.
But after that, I went to the got the green switch to the left, and then I went to the right through the water and into the ghost house. Mm-hmm. To the bottom right, and there I went around the star world and then into the special world, and I didn't get through the special world before I ran out of time.
Yeah, and actually the star that goes that takes you right next to Bowser's castle, I found you couldn't get the I couldn't figure out a way anyway to get the to the key, because it's underneath essentially a lot of platforms where you need to have all the switches completed in order to have something to stand on.
You need a blue Yoshi so you can swallow
do
a
it too.
Yeah, well, so that you can
fly underneath
swallow
that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Man, you guys are talking about places I've never even seen.
You've probably seen when we played them when we were younger, but.
that's one of the things that I liked is that not only is there Yoshi, but there's different color Yoshis, and they have different powers depending on the different turtles that they swallow. Like when the normal green Yoshi swallows a red shell, it'll breathe fire, you know, when it spits it out. But a red Yoshi, no matter what shell it eats, will spit fire, that kind of thing.
Huh. Yeah,
but the blue Yoshi was the best, in my opinion.
Yeah, I want to share one of someone on Facebook, Joe Martin, shared very similar to what you're saying, Paul. He said, the best Mario ever made, in my opinion. I think the best part of the game was discovering the ultra secret rad star world, which had all the different colored Yoshis, each with a sweet exclusive power. My favorite was the blue, because he pretty much broke the game because you could fly. Or how about the trick in the ghost house, either the first or the second one, that opened up the tiny level where you could keep gaining feathers and lives, the one I talked about a little bit ago. So thank you, Joe Martin, for adding to the conversation here. Paul definitely agrees with you. I agree with you. Though this playthrough, I didn't find as much help from the different Yoshis, even the blue one. I just, pretty much the green one, maybe it's because I was just trying to get through the game as fast as possible.
Except you didn't use the blue Yoshi to beat the game.
Well, no, but I did beat the game.
Oh, but you couldn't get the key faster with the blue Yoshi.
Yeah, I guess I could.
I wish I read that Facebook post before starting. I would be like, oh, secret room, okay. That would have helped.
Yes. But thank you again, Joe, for sharing that. Let's see.
Yes, thank you, Joe.
I want to share, guys, what did you think of the music? I loved it. I thought it was quite so memorable and so iconic for Mario. I think the only thing that could be probably more iconic is the very first Super Mario Brother first level. But what are you guys, what do you guys think?
Agree.
Yeah, and I thought it was actually some of the best 16-bit music I've heard.
Oh, totally.
I really liked it. And each of the songs basically prepared you for that stage.
Yeah.
It fit very well.
And know what's interesting about that? There are a few exceptions, like the castles and the ghost houses, but all the levels were the same melody, just like
really?
The timing was a little different, or the tone was a little bit. Yeah. Which was really interesting.
Any of the underground places where it was like a deeper, like, it was great. I really like that. Yeah.
I didn't know that was the same song for the underground.
Yeah. Listen, you can hear the melodies are the same.
Real?
Yeah.
Now I have to go back.
Yeah, totally. The ghost houses and the castles are different, but pretty much all the other ones. I think there are a few other exceptions, but pretty much the same song. let's see, Kitos, I think back to you, let's just go with you. What's something else you liked about the game?
where you become like the blimp Mario and you can
float up.
That was so funny. I completely forgot about that. And when I got to him, I'm just like hysterically laughing because Mario is just like floating about. That was so funny.
I thought it was fine, but I mean, I remembered it and I thought it was fine, but that's all. I'm glad that you thought it was so funny.
it just made me crack up.
Yeah, yeah. So. I really liked the ending sequences when you beat the castles, how they're kind of different.
Is that what you meant by yeah. free the Yoshi yeah. eggs?
Yes.
And Koopa that's didn't put them in Yoshi.
That's yes, he did. If you read the...
He didn't put them in eggs.
Yes, if you read the hint did box he? In the very first level where the house is, he says, Yoshi says yeah, something like, I'm going to get
that
my...
I said, that's so boring?
Yes, the story one. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
He says, like, I went to rescue my friends, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, but I didn't think... I think they were already in eggs. They were born that way, and then they got hatched.
All right. Well, he... gets them as eggs when he beats
didn't
the
put them in eggs.
Well, I like the ending sequences for all the boss fights and whatnot yes. with the Mario. I like the one where he does the, you know, the like TNT explosion. He presses uh-huh. the switch down and then it actually shoots up like a rocket.
Oh,
and
that
he's
one.
Like standing there like, was that supposed to happen? That was great.
Yeah.
I like the one where he does that and then nothing happens and he goes over to it and it explodes and he's like all singed and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this game introduced the Koopa kids. No, wait, three did.
Yeah. With Iggy and Spike, right? Spike was one of them.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. He's from the movie.
Oh.
I'm being sarcastic. Paul, why don't you give us one more thing that you really loved about this game?
Luigi.
Really? No. Oh. Totally got me. Oh my gosh.
We need a sarcasm alert.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Alice, install the sarcasm alert plugin.
How about no?
Sarcasm detected. Something.
Darn thanks, Alice.
Oh, I don't know if you utilize this much, but what I enjoyed at the time, and when you could actually hold down the R or L button and it would move the screen to the left or to the right, so you could see people, like enemies, coming towards you.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it was a good strategy to stand somewhere like on a pipe and then do the R button, hold down the R button, move the screen, and then the character would come and then you would defeat him, because if you approached without doing it, it would be more difficult to pass that level,
you know.
So
I only ever used that when the hint box said to use it. After that I completely forgot.
That's same funny. Thing happened to me.
Yeah,
I ran. I'm like, oh, that's so cool, and then I never used it.
Oh, I think you used the R and L, but did you ever notice that you could view the whole world, essentially, the whole Super Mario world, and basically when you looked at it, it looks like the map of the world. And so basically when you start, you start basically in South America, and then you go up and you travel up to America and down through Europe and then down basically.
Oh, cool.
Bowser is like in Australia. It mirrors our world. Huh. Yeah.
I did not know that. That's pretty cool. Huh. Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that either until a couple of years ago when I saw that somebody made a comment on a website. I was like, oh my gosh, my mind has been blown.
That actually lends some credence to the movie having this one-to-one relationship of Dino Hatton and Manhattan. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, Kitos, why don't you share one more thing that you really loved about the game?
Let's see.
While he's thinking, I also liked beating the special world and entering basically where you enter into fall time, where it was spring. And when you first start out of the game, it was now fall, basically.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was a cool concept, so that you could play the game over in a very similar, but a little different way.
Yeah, and I thought this game had so much potential for replay value. Like, you beat the game, and there's still so much more to unlock. And that's, I think, pretty reminiscent of most Mario games since that one. And yeah. That's just really cool, as opposed to just, I guess,
getting the P-Wing.
The P-Wing.
And replaying 3 all over. If you beat Super Mario Bros. 3, it starts over and you have a bunch of P-Wings in your utility belt or whatever you want to call it.
Okay. I didn't know that. Well, that's interesting.
Anyway.
I'm pretty much good on what I like. Okay. I have a pretty good list of dislikes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, I guess I'll say one more thing, then I'll end with someone else that posted on Facebook. I really liked the castles, kind of. Like, they were really challenging for the most part, and I really liked that. And I felt very satisfied after completing them and getting to the Koopa Kid. But it's that getting to the Koopa Kid part, or when you get to them, that it sort of falls flat. But we'll get to that in a second. Let me end on a positive note with Michael Kelso from the Retro Thought Pod. He says, Super Mario World is one of my all-time favorites. Excuse me. I hope we can do a Super Mario World show in the future. I hope so, too. They're actually going to be doing a Nintendo versus Sega episode here in a little bit. So check that out if that sounds interesting. So Michael continues, I never quite understood the whole Dino Land thing, though. And I think that's mainly because, like you're saying, Paul, they wanted to introduce Yoshi. And it probably would have been sort of out of place to not have other dinosaurs as well. So that's probably, think that'd be the rationale.
But I think Koopa is dino-esque in himself.
True.
Yeah, not Godzilla quite, but...
More like Rezar. Is it Token Rezar from TMNT 2?
I think so.
Anyway, let's move on to those things that we didn't like about Super Mario Brothers. And since it sounds like Kidos has quite the cache, why don't you share first, Kidos?
Okay, yeah. You had just barely mentioned this before, but it was... the boss fights were highly disappointing.
They were so lame.
What? They were so lame. What? Yeah, no, I agree. And after really racking my brain on a few levels and trying really hard to get through them, and then I got to the boss, I'm like, okay, this is probably going to be really difficult. I just jump on him twice, and that was that. And he really do anything else.
Well, three times.
Three times, excuse me.
well, sometimes you can hit him twice and knock him into lava if you're that good.
I doubt it
since you said you died so many times just trying to get to him.
Well, okay, anyways. My point is the boss fights were just way too easy.
Yeah, except for Bowser. I thought Bowser's was pretty good, but...
Yeah. I unfortunately I didn't get to Bowser.
Oh, okay.
I died too much.
By the levels. From the levels.
Yeah, the levels. The bosses, I could always beat them on the first try.
Yeah.
I never had to retry like I did for the levels.
I only once died from Rezar. The rhino guys, I forget their name.
Triceratops guys.
Yeah, because I ran out of bridge. That's like the only reason. Yeah,
I see.
Now, I found it satisfying because the levels were difficult, and then I get to the boss, and then I die on that. That means I have to do that hard level all over again, and it's like,
no, if you get to the halfway point.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. But Paul, I think the first few, it's okay that they did it that way. But as the game progresses, it should get continually harder. And there was no escalation in difficulty for the bosses, except for Bowser at the very end.
Yeah, I mean...
I would agree that in general, most of the game levels didn't get harder, except for some of the special ones were really hard.
Yeah, that's a decent point.
Yeah. But
The castles, though.
I see that, but I don't. I see that as a point of improvement, but not a negative point in my book.
Okay.
To me, as playing through it, it felt like I actually felt like the stages did start getting harder and harder. So it felt like a great, climb of the stages getting harder and more involved with more effects going on and more different types of enemies and ways you had to avoid them. And then the bosses, it just like plateaued right from the beginning.
Yes.
So well put. It really messed with the flow of the game, in my opinion. And I don't know, maybe I'm remembering this wrong, but did it not have music? I feel like those boss fights didn't have music.
Yeah, the da na 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 na.
Oh yeah, but I don't know.
There was a Japanese man in the back singing da na 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 na.
Yeah, to me the music wasn't good for those as well. So
that's another good point, because typically I can't really think of a game that I remember with boss music being like amazing, but. There's probably a game out there.
But it's usually Final higher Fantasy energy 7. To get your boss levels usually have a higher energy music to the background to get your adrenaline push.
Yeah. But, this one I didn't feel that way at all.
Well, you know, you didn't need that much time to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But I do see your point, Paul, with like after such a hard stage, you don't want to die on a boss.
Yeah.
That's just like, because the stages were, at least for me, very difficult.
Yes. Especially the castles and some of the cave levels as the game progressed, I found quite hard. Mm-hmm. Paul, how about you? Was there anything you didn't like about Super Mario World?
I can, unlike my counterpart here, I could only come up with one thing that I didn't like.
And that was awesome.
The game. I don't know how to, I don't know what the right terminology is, but okay. When you jump from the ground, let's say at a diagonal forward, and you jump up onto a brick or a landing area, let's just say there was one brick you wanted to land on, I felt that there was too much slide and it was very difficult so the game control on that was very frustrating. I don't remember being frustrated when I originally played this when it first came out, but I think through the time game control has gotten so much better, so that when I went back this last time and replayed it, that was very frustrating.
Oh, interesting. Did you keep your finger pressed on run though as you're landing on the block?
Maybe a lot, maybe more than I should have. Yeah.
Yeah. I found I had to like really press it off, I guess, or take it off.
Which frustrates me
whenever I want to
hold it on the whole.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I want to keep it pressed the whole time and get through it. So, but I don't remember having it for me. It was frustrating to land on the one blocks kind of quickly. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'd have to redevelop my skills in that. But I think today's games are a little more
forgiving and
easier.
Yeah.
We'll have to settle to agree on that one, Paul.
Very well this time.
I'm kind of in between you two, I guess. I had only a few things that I didn't like, and we covered one of them with the boss battles. Something else, though, I felt like there weren't that many power-ups, really. The flower and the feather, I don't really count the mushroom. I mean, I guess technically it's a power up, but
Yoshi.
Well, see, I don't really count Yoshi.
Technically not a power up, but if you count him,
I don't know. I feel pretty powerful with Yoshi.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'd rather have Yoshi than a mushroom.
Yes, that's true.
And ride him small.
Am I playing as Baby Mario? What happened?
No,
that's a good point.
You didn't get? Did you get small in this?
Yeah,
I
guess so.
You weren't Baby Mario.
I guess
you still had to stash, but
no. I guess I started out small, and I
No, I don't think you start out small. Start out big and then get smaller, which is kind of a difference because in the very first game, you start small.
Oh, I guess every time I died, it was usually falling in a hole or lava or something. So I never really got small.
Those enemies didn't give me any issue, but those pits.
Yeah.
My jumping. Just too cocky. Dang it.
With the, yeah.
I'm sliding off this brick.
Falling off those blocks.
Exactly. All right, Githos, how about you? What was something else you didn't like?
How many times I died to my own shell. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, your own shell?
You let go of one?
I'd throw the shell, right? I'd accidentally let go of the button. It'd throw the shell, and it would bounce back at me. I'd die instantly, and that was like my last life. I can't even count how many times that happened. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Anything involving any of the shells, I died at least 10 times.
Why did you hold on to the shells?
I didn't mean to. I was just, whenever I held the run button, yeah, I was just holding down the run button. I'd pick up every shell.
That's so funny. Wow. Oh, wait, I didn't mean to let go. Oh, wait, no, I let go.
Yeah, exactly. There was this one part where I was in between two pipes, and there's one of those blue shell guys. And I jumped onto him, and guess I would also hit the shell in the same jump. And so it would hit the pipe behind me and then go straight into my back. Oh, and I would just die instantly.
You got to time those better.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, work on your jump ski, those G's.
Eventually, I just held like the go right button the most and just tried to jump past the shell.
Sounds like you need a GoPro or go home.
If you were big and you did the troll jump, could you stomp out the shell?
I don't think so, because you couldn't break through the twirly blocks, I know, so I would be surprised if you could stomp out the shell.
Yeah. No,
but I forget.
The shell would still be there.
Not when you're small.
No, I said when you're big, though.
Oh, yeah. I think so, then, yes.
Maybe. I died so much.
Too often.
I
was just,
so that's one thing I didn't like. It was so frustrating. It was especially so frustrating.
You didn't have all those extra lives.
I ended up relying on those bonus levels where I got those extra lives.
Nice.
Because otherwise it was just, I would have to continue and start back a few levels. It was, I spent so much time on the same levels.
Yeah.
So I forgot to ask, how far did you get? What was it like the last level you got to, Githos?
I got to Chocolate Mountain or something.
Okay. Yeah, so that's pretty significantly far. You're just like just the shipwreck, and then you're into Bowser's land.
Yeah. I didn't get to experience the end game, as they call it, but I did get to play most of it. But
nice.
It took many a death. many Marios were hurt in the making of this podcast.
But hopefully we can still destroy the Death Star. Anyway. the only other thing that I didn't really like, and this is kind of I don't know if it's a backhanded compliment, if that'd be the right way to put it, but if we go back to you know how I didn't think there were very good power-ups? And but one of the power-ups of the feather/cape was really good. But I felt like that took away a little bit from some of the levels because I found myself like this. Okay, honestly, it was very helpful for me as someone who was trying to play through the game to get a sense for it on the whole so that I could talk about it somewhat intelligently. It was very helpful to have a feather that I could just fly through some of these levels. But on the flip side, it actually detracted from me actually getting to experience some of the levels. For me, some of them are just clouds. I have no idea what happened in them. I just like zoom by them. And so I felt like go ahead, Paul.
But that's up to you.
Yeah.
Because you could, I mean, and I had this ability when, you know, I had more time younger. It's like, you know what? I'm going to play through this level without using the cape. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to try to play through this level. You know, it's up to you. You limit yourself, but if you want to reach the end, the cape is there for you.
Yeah, but I think it'd be, I guess going back to the limited power-ups, I think it'd be a lot nicer if there were, the flower I never used. Did either of you guys use the flower?
No. No, it really. Oh,
only when
me.
I had to.
Okay, yeah, exactly. So I think they should have had another power up that was as useful, but in a different way. I think that would have been a little more intriguing. I know Yoshi, I guess, would be
like the hammer suit.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'd love to have the hammer suit. I always liked that. Mm. And the frog, I always liked too, though. That's kind
of
weird.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I did like about this game is the swimming. It's easier to swim in this game. By swimming across a straight line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I liked if you picked up one of those blue bricks, you could swim straight also. That was kind of cool.
Oh, really? I kind of didn't.
Well, you float up. You wouldn't swim straight, but you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, ahead, I didn't really like holding the blue bricks that much because it made you move fast, which was great, but it was harder to control. And sure. So it would inevitably. It was inevitable that I'd hit a fish.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Now, why did some of the fish have like snorkels or oxygen tanks? Aren't they fish? what is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a game. I mean,
that brings me to, I mean, one thing. I don't know. I've always had kind of a weird problem with the Mario series. This is, a lot of stuff just doesn't make sense.
Yes,
like character-wise or character creation.
They're trying to be thinking, ironic and funny, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Why is Mario a plumber? Because there's pipes everywhere. Why wouldn't he be a plumber?
He has no plunger. Or wrench.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's just based on tradition because back in, you know, 8-bit world, it was pretty hard to make sprites, so they just had to, you know, do whatever they could.
Yes. Overalls will look good. Yeah. Ah.
But
go ahead, Paul.
No, I was about to say Kitos, but what were you going to say that you had a problem with the Mario games because of their characters?
Oh,
they didn't make sense or?
Well, not so much in the later Marios, but, like, especially in Mario World, like, I didn't, or, like, there were characters who didn't really fit with the stages they were in. Like, I don't understand why the football guys were there. Like, it just, I'm like, what? Yeah, I get it. It's like a different enemy type, but it's like, where does this really fit into the environment? They just threw him in randomly.
He's
lost in the forest.
Yeah, like football team kind of got lost on the way to the game or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
though, speaking of that, why were there? It seems like there should have been more dinosaur characters if they're in, you know, Dino Land.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's another thing. When you said when people mentioned, oh, they're in Dino Land, I'd go, no, they're not. There's not dinosaurs. There's turtles and like. Round Goombas and
football bars, players,
but
yeah,
okay. There's Yoshi and there's like a couple dinos, but it's not Dino Land. It's just like Mario World.
I know. That speaks to what Kitos was saying about some of the things just don't make sense.
Yeah,
but, yeah. It's fine if you don't call it Dino Land because then it's just a weird world.
Yeah, if you don't try and make sense of it. It makes sense.
And there are no donuts in Donut Land. What's up with that?
That's kind of weird.
I was expecting Homer Simpson donuts.
But I like the names of the stages. I do like that.
Yeah.
I thought they were funny.
Choco Mountain. Yeah.
Did any of you guys get a 50 at the end when you tried to cross the ribbon?
That's so hard. Yeah. Yeah. Is it you get 2 or 3 lives with that?
I thought you just got 50. I don't remember.
Or is it 1? No, you either get 1, 3, or 5.
Oh, okay.
one-ups with that. I forget. I didn't do it this round.
I remember getting those, finding some of those moon ups, which was three.
Oh, yeah, lives. With the three. Yeah.
That was kind of cool. I had forgotten about those. Kitos, was there any, or even Paul, if something else came to mind, was there anything else you guys didn't like? Or flat out hated?
How people call it Dino Land when there's obviously a lack of dinos.
Well, nice. Yeah. Nice, one thing, I remember there being a lot more of those like bullets, the big bullets flying around.
Oh, yeah.
And I only, like this playthrough, I only remember two stages with it. The very first one had just a giant one.
Yeah.
And then later on, there was a stage where they were shooting all over the place. Mm-hmm. But that was it.
Yeah.
And I remember that, like, that was one of my favorite memories is these, you know, the bullets flying across the screen and you having to dodge them all. And then I realized, you know, after playing this, it's like, it's actually not one of the big parts of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
You just spent a lot of time on that level as a kid.
Maybe, yeah.
Dying a lot. Yeah. Some things don't change.
Surprisingly, I didn't die very much on it this time.
Oh, well,
that part I got through no problem. Nice.
I could tell that if I just crouch, I won't die. Ah.
I was like, I was playing the whole time waiting for that part. I was prepared just for that.
I'm glad you're prepared.
So I was actually disappointed that wasn't, you know, in more of the stages. Because mm-hmm. I actually really liked that. That was fun.
Yeah. That. Yeah, and I'm trying to think if there are any enemies I wish there were more of, but none really come to mind.
The Goombas. The Goombas look like round things. They weren't Goombas of the traditional.
They look like
trapezoid
peas.
Or peep. Yeah,
or apples or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were the apples that Yoshi ate, but with eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Until I think my brother pointed out, no, those are the Goombas. And I'm like,
I got to give credit to Kellen. Kellen, who's been on the podcast.
Oh, Kellen, was that it?
Yeah. He commented after our Super Mario Brothers movie episode because we thought there weren't any Goombas. He actually commented on that episode. Hey, guys, sorry to school you, but those fruit things are Goombas.
Yeah. And when I saw a picture, I totally remembered. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, I was waiting for some dinos with small heads.
Oh, from the movie,
big head, small arms.
There were none in the game.
Well, the movie came after the game, but
yeah.
Oh my. All right, guys. Well, unless there's anything else, going once, going twice,
sold.
Yeah.
Well, then let's get on with our firing solution. Alice, do you have it for us?
Get on with it.
Firing solution complete. Rating salvo at the ready. On your mark.
Let's get to it. Kitos, Super Mario World. Would you rate a classic or second class? And how'd you rate those?
Should I start with the how first?
Yeah.
You can time together however you like. Yes.
So how I would rate second class versus first class.
Classic versus second class.
Classic versus second class. Is a classic is definitely a game that, I mean, it holds up to games of today. It still teaches me things when I go through it. I relive it, you know, and I just I love it. I flat out, you know, it's like this is a game I want to play no matter what stage of life I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm a vegetable.
Even if. And second class is anything less than that, I guess.
I may be a vegetable, but and I still don't want to play it.
So I'm going to rate Super Mario World number one. I don't think there's a two. Is there a two?
Ask. Yeah, Super Mario World 2 is Yoshi's Island.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm rating Super Mario World number one, numero uno, Second class.
What?
I would not expect that vegetable. I don't think I could get through the first stages of vegetable. I can hardly get through it now.
Wait, but so, you don't enjoy playing it? I thought that was your criteria.
Well, no. See, and that's the thing. I enjoyed playing it, but truth is, I enjoyed playing the later Mario titles way more.
Oh, really?
I felt like Super Mario 64 is leagues ahead of Super Mario World.
Disagree, yeah, so. But I haven't played that one in a while, actually. So I wouldn't be able to tell you truly.
No. I played that one like last year.
Fine.
It's a fun one.
I really like that one for Mario.
I do gotta
yeah,
say.
I don't.
Go ahead, Paul.
I was about to say, I prefer side scrolling to 3D, but that Mario takes a little bit for me to get used to, but it's a fun one.
Yeah.
I agree that the Mario 64 is a really good one.
I mean, in the end, for me, I'd rather play the newer Marios than Super Mario World. Huh? It's very cool, but I have to give it a second class.
You know why? Because when you get the balloon in Super Mario World, you only go left and right up, where in the 64, you can go every direction up.
Forward and back. Nice.
Yeah.
Paul, well, go ahead and tell us, what do you think? Classic or second class?
How I rate it is playability. If I enjoy playing it, if it has a good story or whatever, if I really enjoy playing it, then I'll say it's a classic. I guess that's how I rate it. I forget what I said on other podcasts, but that's what I'm going for in this one. And with that, I will say Super Mario World is a classic. I really enjoy it. Like I said, I prefer side-scrolling games. This has been my favorite video game of all time for years.
Wow, cool.
But now after replaying it, I do like some of the other side-scrolling Marios probably maybe a little bit better.
Oh, interesting. Which ones? Or which one?
Like the new Super Mario Brothers.
Oh. Gotcha.
That's the title. that's on Game Boy and the DS and the Wii
U.
Yeah. And they're side scrolling, but you know, the graphics are, it's incredible graphics these days compared to the old ones. Mm-hmm. But it's, for me, this game is still fun to play through. It brings back some fun memories. So I mean, if you never played it and you've played some of the more recent Mario games, it's not one I would say that you have to go back and play.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have played, if you enjoyed it in the past, I would say it's a fun pickup game to play again.
Very cool. So we have second class from Kitos and a classic from Paul. And I will tie break it with classic. I very much enjoyed playing it again. Exactly. Yeah,
Starman.
I totally enjoyed playing this again. I smiled throughout the game, and I actually Sophia, I would give her I have two classic controllers, so I'd give her the other one, and I'd pretend like she was helping me, and I'd say, "Yeah, good job," and I'd give her a high five after we finished the level.
The therapy she has to go through for that. Like, I thought I was making a difference in the world. My dad led me to believe I was doing great things and it was all for naught. He was manipulating. He was the puppet master. He's always used me.
I'm he not the babe with the power. He taught me. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sure she'll grow up to love it, though, with that encouragement.
Yes. And I would definitely encourage her to play that game because it is so fun. And it really builds your hand-eye coordination a lot, I think.
Yeah. It teaches you not to like football players who are lost in the forest.
Exactly. And to love really cute dinosaurs and hate evil dinosaurs. No, I don't.
Or ugly ones.
Or ugly ones. Yeah.
Stay out of the lava.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, though, The Retro Rewind podcast rates Super Mario World a disputed classic game. So probably want to go check this one out, especially if you're in line with me or Paul. But if you feel like you're probably skew more what Kitos is saying or what you've heard of Kitos before, probably just want to leave it in your past. All right.
I feel like my opinion will upset people. Disputed classic. Well, what?
Don't worry. No, I got a lot of that in last episode, Kitos. Listen to it and you'll see.
And don't worry, because there are people who would say it's not a classic, and then you're the voice for those people.
Exactly. Exactly, yes. Kitos.
I'm the champion of their cause.
Of the, of the lost cause. Let's move on. Alice, can you find out what's new on our tubes?
New tube systems engaged.
Paul, let's start with you. What's new on your tube?
What has been new on my tube? It was actually a cartoon series. It was The Young Justice. That's actually was on Cartoon Network and canceled.
Okay.
But season two of is out on DVD, or you can buy it on iTunes or sure. Amazon. Yeah. But season two, I recommend. It's for Young Justice. Start at the beginning, and it's all about an invasion, and it's a serial throughout the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
I forget how many episodes there are, but this last 2 weeks, I was binging on those episodes, and I was there were some really great, shocking, like, oh my gosh. And the animation is done really well. The character design in it is not like, it's not like, it's a little more realistic than like the Batman animated series or mm-hmm. Superman was. It's mm-hmm. a little more comic book style.
Okay.
And some of the fighting scenes are like really high action. So, if you're a fan of those characters, if you know the Young Justice, it's basically like the sidekicks get together and try to prove that they're not just kids, they're adults or, you know. It's fun if you enjoy those.
Well, very cool. All right. Check out Young Justice from Paul. Kitos.
Yeah, season 2.
Season 2. Kitos, what is new on your tube?
I would say... I actually binged recently on a show called The Following. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
No.
No, I'm not following.
This is a no pun zone.
What are you talking about? This is very much a pun zone. I make puns all the time.
Yeah.
So, I've been watching The Following, and
this is the Retro Rewind Puncast.
Oh no.
Oh man.
We just lost half our audience. I mean, the half of the audience that was left.
Who was that guy watching live? I think he's gone.
Anyway.
I've been watching the Following. It was on Netflix. It's basically about Kevin Bacon. He stars in it. Is he retired? No, he's not retired. He's an FBI agent, and he actually he was involved in this case with a serial killer, and this serial killer. While he's in prison, basically starts a cult. And so the whole thing, the following, the show deals with what happens after the serial killer escapes and has his cult like doing things for him.
Interesting.
And
yeah, it does sound interesting.
Yeah. What's different about like, you know, versus, you know, serial killers in real life, like Charles Manson or things like that. Sorry to take such a down note, but it's actually a really good show. The cult, every single member of the cult is also a serial killer.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
Yeah, so it gets really interesting very quickly,
huh.
and And the actual leader of the cult, like, his whole plan is to mess with Kevin Bacon, and you can find out more if you watch it.
Okay.
It's really, really well done.
And what, I'm sorry, I think you said, but what is that on? Did you say Hulu?
Or Netflix.
Netflix.
Okay. Netflix, yeah.
Very cool.
And you know what else makes it good?
Huh. That Kevin Bacon?
That, yeah, everything's better with bacon.
Wow. Way to steal Tim's line from our
Tremors it was a
episode.
Callback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was a great episode.
Well, thank you, Kitos.
Yeah. So that I'm was sorry. New on my team.
Thank you, Kitos. That was that.
If there was only someone else, if there was only someone else here that we could ask what was new on their tube, we could actually extend this. This brilliance. This. Anyway. Oh, Francisco, are you here?
I am here, Paul.
Oh, cool. So, what's been new on your tube?
New on my tube is it's not really a series. I'm going to just say that the YouTube channel of James. Now I'm totally forgetting his name. James Farr, is that who it is, Paul? With the
The animator?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
And I want
to I don't know.
Tied specifically to this episode.
He
did Super Mario Busters and Super Mario Busters 2, which is essentially taking Super Mario characters and doing a mini movie of Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. It is so awesome. Anyone who's into Mario or Ghostbusters, I think will get a big kick out of it. It's so well done.
Yeah, James Farr. He's very well skilled in animation, too.
Oh, totally. Anyways, the stuff he's doing nowadays, it's really cool. Check it out. James Farr, YouTube. Let's move on to our feedback section. Alice, bring up those communication satellites.
ComSat online. Receiving incoming transmission.
Now that makes so much more sense when you say bring up the communication satellite. You said it's ComSites online.
I've said it so many times.
I thought you said, hey, do we have any feedback? And they're like, CoSites online. I'm like, what does CoSites have to do with feedback? Okay. I'm trying to pay you a backhanded compliment. Gosh.
Thanks, Paul. Well, we don't have any backhanded compliments. We only have pretty much good things in our feedback section. We've gotten a lot of feedback, so I'm going to share it here. Patrick Kramer left us feedback via our contact form, which if you'd like to send us feedback, now you don't have to email us, though you can still email us. Our email is feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com. But if you go to retrorewindpodcast.com/contact, there's a handy dandy contact form there. You can fill it out and it'll get to us and we'll be able to read it on the show, just like we're about to do here for Patrick. So Patrick went into a lot about what his thoughts on Monty Python. I'm going to summarize it here, though I do appreciate you, Patrick, very much for your lengthy feedback. So
he had some good points in there.
Yeah, because I sent it to you, Paul, right?
Yeah. Throughout the whole thing.
Nice. Patrick said, just finished your episode on Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and while I enjoyed the show as usual, thank you, Patrick, I had to shake my head frequently at your attempts to deconstruct the film and critique it. You aren't supposed to attempt to find logic in it. You just need to go along for the ride. It's just silly, insane fun. I remember discovering Python back during high school, and my friends and I wore it out. It got to the point where you couldn't carry on a normal conversation with any of us. It wasn't long into a chat that we'd throw in a quote from the Holy Grail or Flying Circus. Is it for everyone? No, but for those of us that get it, we love it. I know something is a classic when I can pop it into the DVD player and watch it at a moment's notice, and Monty Python and the Holy Grail easily falls into that category. So I think Patrick totally makes sense. I like I said last episode, I don't get it, but I think I like the discussion we had about it, whether it was helpful or not. But I do want to say Patrick was actually our 30th like on Facebook as well for our Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/retrorewind, Retro Rewind Podcast. And so thank you so much for that. Now we can see how you guys, more about how you guys like to interact with us. And our next achievement level is 100 likes. So definitely share with your friends and that'd be great to get there. But it's really cool just us getting to 30 likes.
And there was much rejoicing. Yay.
Oh my gosh. So, but while we're on the topic of Facebook, Joe Martin commented just in general. He said, congrats on the likes, Brosifus. I'm not quite sure how that's supposed to be pronounced, but congrats on the likes, Brosifus. I wonder if I'd appreciate Monty Python now. As a kid, I just didn't get the Holy Grail. And now as an adult, I think John Cleese is, well, an unlikable dude. And I responded back. I agreed with him, except I like John Cleese, but I found my, not my soulmate, but a like-minded individual in Joe. We can not like Monty Python together, so I appreciate you, Joe.
And that's fine, because King Arthur never got the Holy Grail in the movie anyway.
What?
He said he didn't get the Holy Grail.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, neither did the characters. So it's all fine. Right.
That is well done, Paul. That is well done. Kind of a groaner for me, but that is well done. Then our regular listener, Ryan Jackson, who, by the way, I want to say happy 10th anniversary to him and his wife of being married. Congrats.
Woohoo! Yeah. And there was much rejoicing. Yay.
He left us a comment on the Monty Python episode. He said, listening to this review was almost as funny as the movie. The whole time I kept chuckling over the fact that you guys were analyzing Monty Python. It's not meant to be analyzed. It's just meant to be laughed at. To borrow a quote from Paul from the Retro Rewind Podcast Episode 1, you have to turn your brain off. First off, I super appreciate that you're quoting our Episode 1. That is amazing.
Yeah.
And second, I appreciate your feedback. I think you and Patrick, you totally probably on. I wonder how many people actually felt like, why are you analyzing this? It's just fun, but that's what we do. It's part of the job.
Impressive.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't even remember what I had for breakfast.
But you remember not liking the Super Mario World.
The amount of deaths you never forget.
I remember all those times I died.
every single one.
Every single one. Finally, so I appreciate that, Ryan. Thank you for sending that. Finally, we had another in our contact page. Alan M. sent us this, and he said, "Hi, guys. Just wanted to drop you an email to say thanks for all the laughs and entertainment. My job requires that I travel, and your show is always going either in my car or on my phone as I do my job. The chemistry between all your hosts is fun, and I really appreciate the clean nature of the content and commentary. I'm sure you get lots of kudos for all your hard work, which leaves me wishing I could do more to show you my appreciation. At any rate, keep up the good work. Happy holidays to all your staff." So thank you so much, Alan. That was so kind, and that like totally, I was just really touched by that. Paul, I don't know if you felt the same way, or were you Scrooge, bah humbug?
Oh no, it's always nice to be appreciated.
Yes,
and lavished upon.
Yeah, but thank you so much, Alan, for sending that in. And yeah, it's don't worry about doing more. Though, if you would like to do more, I'd say the best thing you could do is just share the show with your friends. Say, hey, check out the Retro Rewind podcast. I enjoy it. I think you might too.
Or pay your friends to go onto Facebook and like our page so we can reach 100 likes. You can always do that.
Or do that. Yeah, that'd work too.
or bribe your friends to give us high ratings on iTunes.
I'm sensing a lot of bribery in this, Paul.
It's the season of giving.
Slash bribing, apparently.
Yeah, there's. So what if there's motivation behind the giving?
Wow.
All right, give to us.
Yes, it's better to give than to receive, right?
So that's giving us. Never mind.
You've given too much.
I'm spiraling down. I'm off the rails. Let's wrap up this show, guys. Kitos,
with a bow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show once again. Really fun having you. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that? And do you have anything to promote this time?
So thanks for having me on again. Absolutely. I really appreciate it. Love doing these shows, especially I like doing the whole video game side. It's very fun. Even if me and Paul don't always have the same opinion.
Oh, that's fine. It's still fun.
Yeah.
It's better to have conflicting opinions sometimes. It's more interesting.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
I think it makes for good talking points.
Exactly. Yeah.
But if any of you want to read me, if any of you want to reach me, including Paul, you can contact me through my Twitter account. It's at Cool Deluxe and spelled QOOLDELUXX. What's that called?
Would you like to just promote your Twitter handle, or was there anything else?
Contact me on Twitter. I got a lot of projects in the works, but they're all under wraps at the moment. So
very cool.
I'll let you guys know if there's any update on that.
Awesome. Paul, how about you? Thank you for co-hosting as usual. And how would you like to be contacted?
You can find me at pauljpowers.com, and through there is the different social media outlets, usually at Paul J. Powers. And
And can we read your book yet?
No, I haven't finished it. Still working on it. But don't worry, it'll come out one day before I die.
will the RRP audience get exclusive like first chapter or anything?
Maybe.
Sweet.
I don't know. Awesome. It depends on how much they bribe their other folks.
How many likes do we need?
Yeah. It all depends on my generous spirit at the time.
Nice. You know what promotes generosity? Likes on Facebook.
Wow. Okay. Well, if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at FXRUIZX. Again, contact us through the show page, retrorewindpodcast.com/contact. Or you could, like these gentlemen have been saying, like us on Facebook or any of numerous social media. You can find that at retrorewindpodcast.com/social. And something I'd like to promote, which I haven't done it in a while, or actually ever, I am, even though I say it pretty much at the top of the show each time, I am a web and graphic designer, and I would like to promote my services. If you have a podcast cover art, and you like the style of ours, and you'd like something like that for your podcast, I'm wanting to get into that. So you could get lower than my average rate for that. Or if you have a web design that you would like to get going for your for whatever, your business or what have you, get in touch with me. Again, just go ahead and do it through the show, feedback at retrorewindpodcast.com, and say like design services, Francisco, something like that. So I know that's what you want to get in touch about. Were you going to say something,
anything
Paul?
Else? No. I was, but the jokes were really lame. I had three of them.
Gosh.
I was like, no, I'll pass on it.
Thank you.
And it all had to do with getting in touch and touching. So I thought, no, I'll let it skip.
I thought you were going to like,
No, just let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. All right.
But you know
why
I'm
a good
not,
place now?
Okay. You know why I'm not going to let go? I'm not going to let this show end.
Oh, it'll never end. No. It just keeps going and going.
Without saying thank you, whether you're listening while you're working out, if you're doing homework, or you're on the job like Alan, thank you for listening.
Or co-hosting.
Wow. Or thank you for listening to the Retro Rewind podcast. We really appreciate you. And for all the interaction you give us, whether it's just downloading the episode, listening, or if you, you know, like us on Facebook or leave us an iTunes review, it's all awesome. And we really appreciate you and hope you have an awesome Christmas season. Or if you celebrate another holiday, that season too.
What if you're not in the Christmas / holiday season? Can you still enjoy it?
Happy winter because, time.
I guess, yeah, because you may be listening to this, for all I know, in the summer. Yeah, whatever season you're in, happy that season.
Yeah. So be it.
Yes.
Be well.
Be well. Be blessed. Yeah. Let's end this thing.
No, never ending.
You know what? We'll catch you later, like a Pokemon, on the next episode of the Retro Rewind podcast.
Where's the music? Where's the...
Alice is being slow to come out. Okay, here she is.
Retro Rewind mission complete. Proceed to Nath Point Omega and return to base.
Keithos, do you play the Pokemon, or have you played that?
Yeah. Okay. I actually played the new one.
Oh, okay. So if Yoshi was a Pokemon, what would he evolve to? I was thinking Bowser.
I was going to say Yoshimi, but that sounds like sushi.
He becomes more delicious.